You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, in preparation for Monday's solar eclipse, we'll learn about why humans are so captivated by solar eclipses from an expert in both astronomy and anthropology. First, it's time for our weekly review of state news. On Tuesday, President Donald Trump said that both sides were to blame for violence at a white supremacist rally in Charlottesville, Virginia last weekend that left one woman dead. Here's a clip of the president from a Tuesday press conference saying that people on what he called the alt-left should share some of the blame.
You had a group on one side that was bad, and you had a group on the other side that was also very violent. And nobody wants to say that, but I'll say it right now. You had a group on the other side that came charging in without a permit, and they were very, very violent.
Robert Menster joins us now to look at how Wisconsin's lawmakers and others are reacting to that statement and to round up other top news from the past week. He's a senior statewide editor for the USA Today Network Wisconsin, based in Wausau. Rob, welcome back.
Hey, thank you. It is good to be back.
Well, what kind of reactions were we seeing here in Wisconsin from elected officials in the state to the events in Charlottesville and then to the president's reactions?
Sure. You know, Republican officials found themselves this week in a sort of a familiar position with a familiar dilemma, which is President Donald Trump says something offensive or incorrect or both, and then everybody looks to them to see how they're going to react. So this is you know, particularly following the Tuesday press conference that you played a clip of, you know, that's been really where the fulcrum is. So there's sort of a spectrum, right? On the one hand, those more supportive of Trump, Governor Scott Walker has avoided making any comment on whether Trump's statements were appropriate or anything to do with Trump's failure to condemn the white nationalists, the white supremacist groups in Charlottesville. Senator Ron Johnson said he was a little bit less, he was uncomfortable with the statements, but didn't really criticize the president directly and focused on that it's, you need to move the agenda forward and so on. So this kind of, you know, those people are more on the, you know, they've been more reluctant to criticize the president. More critical was Representative Mike Gallagher from Green Bay. His statement was a little bit more strongly worded. He said white nationalism and racism are antithetical to our fundamental values. The president needs to be crystal clear that hatred has no place in our society, but he is currently failing.
And then in the state legislature, Assembly Majority Leader, Republican Jim Steinecke, had somewhat stronger comments than some other state Republicans.
Steinecke was had a full condemnation. Some other state Republican leaders did as well. These guys are often, you know, they were sort of never Trump types during the primaries. Trump did not have a big base of support among the state legislators, and you know, they're state legislators. They don't ultimately have to vote for or against Trump's agenda in Congress. So in a way, they're just in a less of a precarious political position. It costs them nothing in a way to be critical of the president. But yeah, I mean, certainly Steinecke is one, and there are others who have on the state level who have spoken out against the president's statement.
And Paul Ryan, House Speaker from Janesville, in a familiar position, wanting to work with the president as House Speaker and trying to navigate how he responds to the president, to what the president said. What have we seen from Speaker Ryan?
Right. Paul Ryan is right. This is like his default setting at this point. He's been on this since the campaign. He wrote that white supremacy is repulsive. He was quite specific. There can be no moral ambiguity. What he did not write were the words president or Trump, and some people criticized him and called that in itself kind of politically slippery. But it's pretty clear what he's talking about. He didn't resort to any sort of both sides are guilty language. So,
and on the Democratic side, over the last couple of months, a couple of congressional Democrats have called for President Trump's impeachment. Now we see a response from U.S. Representative Gwen Moore from the Milwaukee area. What did she say?
Right. Gwen Moore, the Democrat from Milwaukee. Yeah, she, if there's a spectrum, she's all the way on the other end of the spectrum. She's a House Democrat. She was never close with Trump or any kind of ally with Trump. But there is something different when you go from being opposed to the Republican legislative agenda to actively calling for Trump to be impeached. The Democrats are not in power. She has no power right now to make that happen. But it is a sign of how intensely liberals reacted to these statements this week.
Any other reaction from Democrats?
I mean, I don't think that the comments went over really well, Rob. It seems like most of the reviews have been bad.
Talking to Rob Mentzer from USA Today Network, Wisconsin. He's based in Wausau. We're looking at some of the top stories in Wisconsin from the past week. Shifting gears, on Thursday, the University of Wisconsin Oshkosh Private Fundraising Foundation filed for bankruptcy in the wake of a scandal. This has been a story that's going on for a while now. Bring us up to date, Rob. What's been happening there?
Right. So the University of Wisconsin Oshkosh Foundation is a private fundraiser. Its job is to raise money that can be used for building projects or scholarships to support the university. And what is the cause of this sort of unfolding scandal is was a lawsuit that alleges that they moved money in the other direction. In other words, transferred $11 million in university funds from the university to the foundation instead of just using the foundation to support the university. What happened was between 2010 and 2014, the foundation took on some big multi-million dollar construction and renovation projects. And the lawsuit, which was filed, I forget, last month or a couple months ago, found is by the UW system as a whole, is alleging this this misconduct of using these university funds to prop up foundation activities.
Now, this isn't a scandal where anyone was profiting personally from it, as I understand it. Is that right?
Right. Yeah. That is important to understand. There have not been any criminal charges in this case, and the lawsuit the UW system filed does not make any such accusations that there's a former chancellor who's left, a former chief financial officer. There doesn't seem to be evidence that they were lining their own pockets. It's possible that there could be criminal charges in the future. We just don't know. But based on what has become public now, it appears that this was a little bit of an accounting maneuver meant to assist the foundation. So rather than self enrichment as such.
So why file bankruptcy, this UW Oshkosh Foundation?
Right. The bankruptcy filing will protect the university's endowment. Their case is that by filing for bankruptcy, they can restructure their debt and also selling off certain assets, but also protecting others. They claim that they have $15.8 million in debts and $14.8 million in assets, which is less. So they're going to have to sell. For instance, the official chancellor's residence under this filing would be sold. A university welcome center could be, this renovation project could be in trouble, may not be able to move forward. And there is looming over this the question of whether taxpayers could end up on the hook for this.
And finally, Rob, before we let you go, Monday, the big solar eclipse. We're talking more about that in just a few minutes. But are you making special eclipse plans?
So I'm going to take my kid. I've got a 6-year-old son. We're going to go to the Marathon County Public Library where I hesitate to say this on the air, but I'm told that they have glasses for the families because that's the thing. You can't find glasses anywhere.
A hot commodity.
Yeah. But it's going to be cloudy. It's going to be cloudy in Wisconsin. We might. I'm getting worried that we're going to miss the eclipse.
Me too. But best of luck to everyone trying to catch the eclipse on Monday. Rob, thanks as always for joining us.
All right. Thank you.
That's Robert Mentzer, senior statewide editor for the USA Today Network, Wisconsin. He's based in Wausau and joins us every Friday to look back at some of the week's biggest state news.